All right, welcome to the Free Stretch, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining me here on JoeBucksFan.com. Bobby Fenton with you. Olympic edition of the Free Stretch, as we've got a lot going on this week. Not really with football. We're transitioning now. And, you know, that first week of the offseason where there's nothing is always a tough one for everybody. You have to face the music. No matter what happened in the playoffs, no matter how your team did, no matter how the Bucks did, no matter about anything, it's over after the Super Bowl. But then you get a couple weeks into it and you say, okay, there's a lot of things I can do here to keep the ball rolling. And this year, actually, it works out well because anytime there's an Olympics, at least for me, I'm a big Olympics guy, that really eases that transition. February's a tough month usually. There's nothing in February. You've got the dog days of hockey where it's just kind of, you're waiting for that playoff push, but it's not quite there yet. You've got college basketball, which doesn't take on real meaning until March Madness. But bridging that Super Bowl to March Madness gap, usually very tough. The Olympics for these couple of weeks going on, it's been pretty exciting for me. And it's always better when you get the Olympics in a part of the world nearer to you where a lot of events are going on at good times of the day. I'm talking about all day long, all night long, always something on. With Pyeongchang, it's a little bit different because you get the primetime stuff where our primetime is the middle of their next day. So you get some stuff there, but like during the day, like during the regular part of the day. If you have an office job at work with no TV, it's probably no matter to you anyway. But, you know, I like having just all day long, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, turn something on, boom, Olympics. That's what I think of when I think of the Olympics. And we're not getting that with this Olympic. For some time, actually, because 3 straight Olympics are being held in Asia. You got this one, the next Winter Olympics in 2020 is going to be, the next Summer Olympics in 2020 is going to be Tokyo in Japan, and then the 2022 Winter Olympics are in Beijing, which will then become the first place to ever host both the Summer and Winter Olympics. And fewer places are applying. That's the reason this happened. They don't try to have them on the same continent for 3 times in a row, but back when this application was going on, the process happens many years in advance. You know, the places that would be wanting to put together bids, it was right during the recession in the West, if you will, certainly in the United States and North America. You know, you didn't get a ton of bids for the 2022 Winter Games. In fact, I think it was only Beijing and a place in Kazakhstan, and that was it. So yeah, they're going to pick Beijing. But my point of being, I like staying up late at night. I've enjoyed watching things, you know, in bed at midnight or even going into 12:30, 1 in the morning. I try not to go to bed that late, but sometimes you're just laying in bed. And, you know, everybody always has something to say about all the different events. You see some things that are unusual that you don't see very often. Curling's always an easy one. People love to make fun of curling. Oh, I can't believe curling. First of all, people love to make fun of just the word curling. But second of all, you know, it's not as athletic an endeavor as a lot of the things you see are. But that's okay. I mean, anything that's done worldwide, to me, that has any type of competitive element to it, I have no problem with it being in the Olympics. You know, they got rid of baseball and softball, and they're trying to bring them back, but they got rid of them not because those aren't sports, but because there just isn't a global component to those. And the United States kept winning everything or being, you know, and then you got some, you know, it was softball especially. The United States won everything because who the hell else plays softball? With baseball, you've got the Latin America, the Caribbean, and that's a little more, but that's still one, you know, it's not like there's going to be some big tilt between the United States baseball team and Spain, you know. It just doesn't work that way. They don't, the UK is not going to have a baseball team against the United States. And, you know, even hockey at least has a few different continents. I mean, you've got your North American, then you've got your European. Actually, that's really it, just those two continents. But at least that's two continents. But baseball doesn't really have much of a presence, besides Japan, anywhere else in the world, but right here in the Americas. Curling, seems like they got some, I mean, they got some, obviously Canada, the U.S. You know, it's not going to catch on in Asia much. It's not going to catch on in Australia much. But there's enough of it. And I kind of enjoy watching it. I'm not going to sit and watch, like, long, full productions of curling, but I don't mind having a few frames of curling up there. Or ends, I should say. They call them ends in curling. Point of it being, though, just give me competitive sports. I don't care what it is. I kind of care what it is, actually. I do not get into the whole X Games aspect of it. I think there's too many. Anytime where people are doing tricks, and then they're just being rated by judges on the kind of tricks they did, you know, and much respect to what Shaun White did the other night, by the way. I mean, I even put it on Twitter. This is before the whole thing with his sexual assault, or not, I shouldn't say sexual assault, sexual harassment allegations came out. You know, before all that, though, it was just about his halfpipe performance, and that was pretty clutch, having one run to go, knowing you've got to put up a near-perfect score to win gold, going out and doing it. Bravo. That was cool. But overall, I mean, I can't get into the, oh, he did a 1440 or a fakie, you know, 360, what I just can't get into that. And we already have the X Games for that stuff, and I think they went so all in with this extreme sports stuff. I don't mind the Madden a couple things to the Olympics, but it got to the point where that's all you see now. And I know I feel like they had to do it because the Winter Olympics felt maybe like, oh, well, you know, bobsled's not going to cut it for TV. Figure skating can only carry so much. That's the big primetime event that everybody always talks about. I'm not even into figure skating, but that alone isn't going to cut it. You know, the Summer Olympics have so many different things. You've got your swimming and your track and field, and they kind of, the swimming goes the first week, track and field goes the second week is how they usually do it. With the Winter Olympics, and especially without NHL players in hockey, you know, you've got, what's the big draw outside of figure skating? And so they said, oh, we got to spice this stuff up. But honestly, that doesn't move the needle much for me. But I love watching the alpine skiing. See, alpine skiing to me is much more fun. I'll watch the downhill, all that stuff. Point of all of this being, we've got a Winter Olympics going on right now, and it's helping us get through some things. After we got through with the Senior Bowl and the East-West Shrine Game and all that, NFL Draft Twitter calmed down a little bit, which is fine, because I get a little annoyed with all my timeline being clogged up with people tweeting out heights and weights of obscure people that are going, you know, in the late round. I that really gets on my nerves, irrationally probably. So I'm glad that that's kind of tempered off a little bit, and we'll get to the draft talk more coming up. But there is still some football stuff to talk about, and I wanted to mention just one thing. You know, this is the free stretch. We're going to be on a lot of things here now that we're in the offseason. Of course, the genesis of this show's being here is, you know, it's joebucksfan.com. We're always going to talk about the Bucks. Obviously, in the offseason, though, I'm going to try and bring this podcast back to the style of my actual radio show, which is just talking about everything. Sports-themed, but not necessarily confined to sports. And, you know, I'm going to not try to get too political or anything. I know people tend to want to break from that, and I don't blame them. With what happened yesterday down in South Florida, and again, I'm not going to get into a whole gun control thing here. I have strong opinions on it. If you follow me on Twitter, you've probably seen them. I'll let that be enough for now. But with what happened down there, I know it's hard for a lot of people to even care about stuff like this right now. And I don't blame them. The only thing I'll say about the whole mass shooting thing is that the mass shootings bring these issues to the forefront when they happen. But the real issue is gun violence in general. It's not just the every few weeks. Sadly, it's every few weeks now, it feels like. But it's not just those every few weeks when there's a mass shooting reported, you know, like what happened yesterday. It's every day. It's the, you know, the two guys got shot on the street corner in, you know, Peoria. It's the one kid at home who played with his dad's gun and got shot. Over and over, all over the country, all the time. I mean, literally all the time, people are dying because of guns. And the mass shootings, again, those happen in bigger numbers. They're bigger news stories. But people act like if we go without a mass shooting for a while, it's like everything's good. People are dying every day because of guns, and it's horrible. And it's needless, and it's just a complete waste. And don't let the mass shootings be the thing you focus in on. Really, what they do is rile people up on both sides and just get both, quote-unquote, bases energized, and people just dig in even further. But it's not, you know, and I heard people arguing, you know, they said, oh, there's so many school shootings, but they count everything as a school shooting. You know, this one guy got shot in a school parking lot, and they say it's a school shoot. You know what? Okay, fine. I'm not interested in who counts what or whatever they count. It's not the point this was a school shooting, but this could have been at a movie theater or anywhere else or whatever it was. It wouldn't change anything. Like, don't lose focus. Keep your eye on the ball. The issue is gun violence all the time. And that's all I'll say about that. You know, if you want more, you can follow me or unfollow me on Twitter. But there's always time to talk about football and talk about sports in general. And I was reading something about Jameis, actually, because we went through this show week after week after week, all through the season. And obviously 2017 wasn't Jameis' best year, but we went through every week about, oh, God, I can't believe these people that want to get rid of Jameis. And I talked about how I even know people whose opinions I respect on so many things, smart people, pillars of our community that I'm fortunate enough to know, people like that, people I trust, who I had coming up to me asking me, you know, is Fitzpatrick the guy after Jameis gets healthy? You think they stay with Fitzpatrick if he plays pretty well? Remember that few games? What was it, 2-3-game stretch where Fitzpatrick started while Jameis' shoulder was hurt? And people were legitimately asking me if Jameis could get his job back. And I mean, again, these are smart people. I'm not saying they're stupid, but that was one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. And it opened up a whole thing, and it opened my eyes, because I was kind of blind to it, about how not sold on Jameis a lot of Bucks fans are. And I don't just mean, hey, I'm not sure about Jameis, because that's a normal thing to feel. I feel that way sometimes. Like, yeah, you know, maybe I hope we're right about this. But how many people are not just kind of, I'm not sure about it, but how many people are actually, they are sure, he sucks, get him out, start out. I mean, I can't believe how many people think that. I can't believe how many people think that. And it's asinine and it's crazy. And if you think that, you're absolutely 100% wrong. But everyone's entitled to their opinion. So I was reading a little bit more, but it was on Twitter. Wasn't even planning to talk about this, but I saw it pop up. And it was Scott Kazmaier, who's one of the Football Outsiders guys. Now listen, advanced stats are a big deal in baseball. They've become more and more prominent. Hockey's getting to them too. Football tries. Football isn't as linear as a sport like baseball. Certainly hockey isn't either. But they are still always trying to come up with better ways to measure players. Better ways to have measurables, basically. I think that's a good thing. And I never understood people who poo-poo advanced stats and don't want to hear anything about it. Nobody's saying you have to convert to the church of advanced stats or put 100% of your loyalty into whatever the numbers spit out. But I mean, to ignore a tool, to ignore information in any way, is very ignorant. It's the actually the reason the word ignorant means what it means, because you're ignoring things that are facts. But football, and specifically with quarterbacks, you know, Football Outsiders has a lot of number stuff. Overall, they rate teams on DVOA offense, DVOA defense, overall DVOA. They rate players on different things. So there's one stat that I thought was pretty interesting, and it's failed completion percentage. Now, what's a failed completion? And the reason I'm talking about this is because prominently on this list. Failed completion percentage is when you complete the pass. In other words, not a complete incompletion, because incompletions are obviously, you know, oh, it's an incomplete pass. But at least you were trying. We're talking about completions when you actually complete the ball and still fail to do what you wanted to do. For example, on 3rd and 7, completing a pass for 4 yards and then punting on 4 and 3. You completed the pass. You gained 4 yards. But that's obviously a failed completion. Failed completion, for the official definition, is defined, and it's by down, because obviously on 3rd down, a failed completion is any completion that gets less than 100% of the yards needed. If it's 3rd and 8 and you complete a pass for 6 yards, that's a failed completion. But it's also a pass on 1st down that gets less than 45% of the needed yards. It's in 10, if you complete a pass for 4 yards, that's considered a failed completion. On 2nd down, it's a pass that nets less than 60% of the needed yards. So if it's 2nd and 10 and you complete a pass for 5 yards, that's considered a failed completion. And on 3rd down, of course, a failed completion is a pass that nets less than 100% of the yards you needed. In other words, you didn't get a 1st down on 3rd down, but you still completed the pass. So, you know, we like to, but all the time when I'm watching a Bucks game, anytime there's a 3rd and whatever, and the Bucks complete a pass short of the sticks, I go nuts. I immediately go on Twitter. I start mouthing off. I mean, it's like clockwork. If you follow me, you know that. Follow me at Bobby Game Day if you want more of that, by the way. always appreciated when you're interested in hearing my ramblings during games. But anyway, the point is, Jameis Winston, on this list, and the list is rated from least failed completions to most failed completions, as mad as we get about the whole thing, and every football fan gets mad about that, no one wants to see your team. I'd rather, you know, on 3rd and 8, wing one 15 yards incomplete than complete a 5-yarder and punt anyway. At least you had a chance on the incomplete 15-yarder. But Jameis Winston is number one on this list. He has the fewest failed completions, or I should say the lowest percentage of failed completions in all the national football. Number one. Others on the list, Deshaun Watson, number two. Of course, he was limited this season, getting his season cut short. Matt Ryan, number three. Carson Wentz, number four. Roethlisberger, number five. Aaron Rodgers, number six. Do you get a trend here? Like, these are all good quarterbacks at the top of this list. Again, lowest percentage of failed completions in the NFL in 2017. Jameis Winston, number one. His percentage was only 17.7% of his completions were failed completions. Your company is good. Again, Deshaun Watson, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers. You can read about this on footballoutsiders.com if you want. It's right there. Or just go to Scott Kazmar's Twitter feed. Follow him. He's a good follow, I think. If you are willing to give even a little bit of credence to numbers of any kind, follow him. And again, I'm not telling you to take it all in and buy every bit of it 100%. It's just another way of gathering information. Now let's look at the bottom of the list. Again, it's a good thing to have a low failed completion percentage. The bottom of the list, Mitch Trubisky, rookie quarterback, didn't have a lot of help around him. He's one. Joe Flacco, the only veteran guy who's supposed to be good, second to last, number 34. Over a third of his passes, 36.1% failed completions. Over a third of his completions, I should say, are failed completions. Then you get Deshaun Kizer, Brett Hundley, and Hoyer. Those are the bottom five, and Hoyer didn't have that many attempts. But of the bottom four, three of them were rookie or young guys thrust into roles they maybe weren't ready yet for yet, or at least they're learning how to do those roles. And then Flacco's the other one. Josh McCown's down there. The bottom 10, I can give you the bottom 10 right here. Actually, this is the bottom 12. Tyrod Taylor, Jay Cutler, Drew Brees, surprisingly, he has checked down a lot more this year. C.J. Beathard, Dak, Alex Smith, Josh McCown, then, like I said, Hoyer, Hundley, Kizer, Flacco, Trubisky. And then I read you the top five or six already. Jameis, Deshaun Watson, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers. Now, what does this say about Jameis? Well, and I'll quote the article here. It says, and let me look at this here. It says, the book is starting to fill out on Jameis Winston's playing style. He loves to throw down the field. He is ranked in the top three in lowest failed completion percentage in each of his first three seasons. While his 2017 season was not a smashing success, he did quietly also finish 11th in passing DYAR despite missing three full games. What the hell's DYAR, you might ask? That's defense-adjusted yards above replacement. Again, if you're not a numbers guy, I mean, don't recoil. Take a deep breath and just listen for a minute because these aren't as complicated as they sound. DYAR in football is a lot like WAR in baseball. It's your wins, your value added above replacement. Basically, it calculates each player's cumulative value above or below a replacement level alternative, which is basically, you know, average. It takes into account a player's total value through the course of the entire season, not simply on a play-for-play rate. So, Jameis Winston ranked 11th in that category this year, which is outside the top 10. It's in the top third of NFL quarterbacks, yes. It's not where we want Jameis to be. It's not where we hope he ends up. It's going to, you know, be what they want to be in January and February. But it's pretty darn good, and it's a lot better than what some of you knuckleheads out there give him credit for when you're trying to talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick freaking starting over, even if he's healthy. So, you know, every time Jameis makes a bad play with the ball, and it has happened, or he's not secure enough with it, or, you know, there's a fumble in the backfield or something, it's okay to get mad at Jameis. I mean, I do that too. He knows he's got to take better care of the ball. He's working on that. He's still very young. But those of you that have already made up your mind, you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, you don't give a damn, you're done with Jameis. I mean, again, really seriously, like, take a deep breath and think about where you're coming from there. And think about what you'd rather the Bucs do instead. We're sitting on a powder keg. In my opinion, we're sitting on a powder keg here. We just got to figure out a way. And it's a lot more to it than just Jameis, but I mean, he's the guy that they needed. He's the guy that they hoped he'd be. He is that person. And he's only going to keep developing into that person. And again, one more time, I'll tell you that this season, Jameis spent this season being younger than Tom Brady was before Tom Brady started his first game. Like, realize that. And again, as I've said over and over when I've brought that stat up on this show, comparing Jameis to Tom Brady, I'm just saying, when Tom Brady made his first ever NFL start, he was older than Jameis was during his year three. I mean, don't forget how young Jameis was and has been. He's only going to get better as he gets older. I just hope, really truly hope, that we don't waste that. And how do the Bucs go about not wasting that? That'll be a topic of many of our future shows as we lead up to the draft. As for now, one final thing I'll get to here, because I'm always going to give you all uniform news, and we're keeping it short today, kind of an abbreviated edition of the Free Stretch, but I was very pleased to see the news. And again, if you follow me or Joe, of course you're probably following Joe Bucs Fan on Twitter if you're listening to this, but if you're not, must follow. Best part about the website is that it's, you know, with Joe, always content. Like, you go check in the morning before work, or at work, probably is more accurate. You know, get it out of the way. You know, a couple hours later when you hit that mid-morning wall at your desk, check it again. There'll be like another piece or two up there. Check it after lunch, same thing. But the news was made official. The Jacksonville Jaguars are getting rid of their two-tone helmets. I'm always amazed at humanity, like how obviously bad things can get through several layers of approval and actually make it in this world never ceases to amaze me. And I'm not just talking about uniforms, but there's so many things that are just obviously bad. Bad ideas, you know, bad-looking things, whatever you want to use. And just to get to where those bad things are, they have to pass through layers and layers of approval, and they do it. I have no idea how a freaking airbrushed black to gold helmet actually made it on the field of an NFL game, how the owner of the team said, hey, yeah, this is okay, how the commissioner didn't overrule. I mean, so many people, this isn't just like you and your buddies sitting at a table coming up with uniform ideas. Like, an NFL uniform, a lot of layers to designing it and approving it. I have no idea how something that ridiculously stupid and awful got through. But it did. And as with anything else, ridiculously stupid and awful, people, and at least a few of them, liked it. You could come up with literally the dumbest looking thing on the face of the earth, put it on an NFL team, and then go online on Twitter, oh, I kind of like it. I think that these are dope, dude. Fire emojis, man. They put the little fire emojis for anything. Like, there's literally nothing you could design that won't get somebody to say, oh, yeah, man, these are fly, dude. People have horrible taste. And I know some of you might be saying, oh, these are opinions, Bobby. That's just your opinion. These are very subjective things. No, sometimes some people's opinion is bad. It's okay to say that. If you like the Jaguars helmets that they had the past few years, your opinion is bad, and you should feel bad. But the people that should feel bad are usually the last ones to actually feel that way, or they wouldn't feel that way in the first place. So anyway, they're making a change. Now, we don't know what they're going to, but I'll tell you this. Before this happened, this past season, for example, I would have rated the uniforms in the NFL the Bucs 31 and the Jags 32. The Bucs uniforms are absolutely hideous, and they're an embarrassment to the franchise, and anybody who likes those also has a bad opinion. But at the very least, the Bucs helmet was a solid color, and I rated Jacksonville 32 just for that reason. Now, not even seeing what the Jags are going to be wearing coming up next season, I'm already installing the Bucs as the number 32 team uniform-wise in the NFL. Hopefully they come to their senses soon and fix this. Although the problem is, things never get back to being the... When something good is muddied and sullied the way the Bucs uniforms have been, even if they change them again, it'll just be to something else. You know, it's not just going to get back to what it needs to be. And the old uniforms were fine with a little tweaking. If you wanted to change the face mask color from black to Chrome like they did, that would have been fine. If you wanted to, I like what they did with the logo. They just made the same logo a little cleaner. I believe changes should be done with logos. They should be evolutionary. Like, you should look at them side by side over the years, and they almost look almost the same way like a man, like that walking kind of three-quarter upright ape, and then a little more upright, and then a little less hair. And if you look at the evolutionary chart, it should look like that with logos. And that's what the Bucks did with the logo, and I'm fine with that. The logo's fine. But everything they did with the jersey and pants is a disaster. And you have to really have a horrible eye and really horrible taste to think that looks good. And I don't care if that insults you or not, me saying that. But point is, Bucks are going to be 32 after this. And I can tell you another reason why. I've read, Coughlin, ex-Jaguar coach, then two-time Super Bowl winner with the Giants, now back to being kind of like, I don't even know what his official title with the Jags is, but he's like the council elder. Like, he's the guy, you know, everyone looks to. He's the voice, almost the voice of God for the Jags, basically. It's Tom Coughlin. He had a hand in designing whatever the new stuff is they're going to be wearing, and I'm hearing that they're a lot more cleaner, sharper. I don't want to say old school looking. I don't know what they look like, but they're going to be classy looking. If Tom Coughlin had a hand in it, I already feel good about it. And then I heard also that the Browns hate their uniforms, think they made a big mistake, and want to change again. They're just waiting out the NFL's five-year rule because you can't change uniforms more than every 5 years, which is a good rule, by the way, because consistency is key above all else with uniforms. But I've heard the Browns are going to make a change too. Now, I have no idea how those idiots, if they hate their uniforms so much now, it's not like somebody just made them run out on the field in week one and, oh my God, I hate these. Like, you had a chance to see them before you wore them, and you green-lighted them yourself. But apparently their owner Haslam and his wife especially, is like, oh, I don't like these. Well, you should have said something before they did that, because it was very easy to, again, pre-approve things and not have to go through 5 years of the... I mean, that's another example. Like, when I see what the Browns used to wear and I see somebody change it to what they do wear, I lose faith in humanity. I can't believe human beings can be that incompetent. I can't believe human beings can be that bad at something that should be easy. But human beings thought, hey, let's get the word Browns in huge letters and put it down the side of the pants. And let's put drop shadows on the numbers. And let's use contrast-colored stitching. And I know people are going to say, oh, it's not even about looking good, Bobby. They just got to throw something on the rack so people buy it. But that's my point. People buy it. Like, you can put anything out there, and mouth-breathing humanoids will go out and buy it. I see somebody wearing a Bucks jersey now, like the new ones, I want to go up and smack them. And again, just like the stuff I was telling you about with Jameis, I know smart, credible people that I see that went out and bought a new Bucks jersey when they came out with the new uniforms. And I'm thinking to myself, are you an idiot? Like, deep down in my little, I don't say it out loud, I'm thinking to myself, are you a mouth-breathing humanoid? These are people who have, you know, good jobs, make lots of money, have good families, are smart people. People who are my friends. And I lose respect for them. So, you know, Nike's gonna Nike. We know what their whole deal is. But Nike can't do it without, one, the teams approving it, and they wouldn't do it without, two, all y'all running out and buying that crap. Never mind that adults shouldn't wear jerseys to begin with anyway. Any jersey, even good-looking ones. That's a topic for another show. But anyway, in closing, I want to thank the Joes, as always, for hosting this show on JoeBucksFan.com, the best website for Bucks coverage anywhere, and the opportunity for me to get in front of you guys every week and say whatever it is I have to say. Email me. Always love hearing from you guys. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is my email address. Hit me up. Find me on Twitter @BobbyGameDay. I'm Bobby Fenton. That's the free stretch for this week. We'll be back next week. More about the Olympics, more of whatever else is going on. It'll be a lot of fun. In the meantime, good afternoon, good evening, good night.